Every handle I chose for my kitchen cabinet seemed to be out of stock.
Couch that we ordered came a month and a half later than expected.
I ordered a bicycle on April 18th. They said it's on back order and will be in the store early July.
I run a wedding registry, and the most popular gift is a KitchenAid mixer. All of a sudden, our suppliers told us that KitchenAid is not importing for the foreseeable future.
We started looking at the freight costs and just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not sure if we can overcome this.
Take a second and look around. It doesn't matter where you are. Everything around you, everything, cars, cell phones, that coffee mug, your clothing, your glasses, it all comes from somewhere. See, global trade is just too big to comprehend. $19 trillion worth of goods are imported around the world every single year. And if you're like most people, it never even dawns on you that when you bend down and pick up a package from your doorstep, it's the culmination of a journey from raw material to components to manufacturing to packaging that spans the world. All delivered to you in one tidy package. Global freight connects the world, until suddenly it doesn't. In 2020 and 2021, as we sheltered in place and added things to our shopping carts, air cargo and ocean cargo kept ticking. But a perfect storm of rising demand, port shutdowns, missing containers, and canceled passenger flights now pose an unprecedented challenge to global trade. Which is exactly what we'll discuss in Ship Happens, a podcast miniseries exploring the supply chains that connect the world and what happens when things go wrong. I'm Eitan Buckman, a self-proclaimed freight geek and chief marketing officer at Freightos, the global freight booking platform. And together with dozens of guests like the CEO of FedEx Logistics, e-commerce business owners, and executives at the world's largest cargo airline, we're going to sweep back the curtain. We're going to see the ticking machinery that makes global trade go. This is Space Mountain with the lights on. It's the gears inside of your watch, and I promise you, it's going to blow your mind. The past year has seen epic congestion at ports. Since containers move 90% of global trade, this has a huge impact. And it's not just on a vague macroeconomic level. Most companies have spent the last 2 years struggling just to keep their heads above the water. And it's worse for small businesses. Large global retailers have deeper pockets that can help them survive. For example, Home Depot has basically rented its own ships this year. But for many companies, there's just no real way out. And that brings us to Connor. This story needs some background. Early in 2021, I came across a great Kickstarter concept that I loved. So did nearly 10,000 other people who pledged over $3 million. So before we get to the freight, here's Connor and his idea.
My name is Connor Lewis, and I am the founder of Fort. I basically created this magnetic pillow for kids made out of foam and durable material with magnetic connectors in the corner, kind of similar to magnetic building blocks, but on a much bigger level.
With the money he raised, Connor started to find the right factories, source the right components, find the right manufacturing lines, and of course, find the right shipping solutions to make sure that he could get the product in customers' hands.
So basically, we used the success of the Kickstarter to build out a more robust supply chain that took us months and months. And the hardest part about that is just doing it in public. You're building a product that everyone's waiting for. It's a lot easier when you sell a few thousand dollars to something, $20,000. If you take a loss on that, most people who have had a decent career are going to be able to survive that financially. I'm talking about working on the millions of dollars scale out of the gate, something I've never done before. And so that was a huge, huge challenge.
This same exercise, sourcing goods from around the world, is repeated by literally hundreds of thousands of companies every single year. According to the U.S. Department of Trade, in 2016, over 400,000 U.S. companies imported or exported goods. The vast majority of importers, 98% of them, were small or mid-sized businesses. Every single one of them is transforming a concept in their head into a product that ends up in your hands.
When I first got a huge box of my product to my front door, it was absolutely amazing. I pulled it out and I had played with the magnets before and I like clicked the magnets together and I was like, oh my gosh, it works. I figured it out. I did it. It really was a very cool, magical moment that I hope I don't totally take for granted, because you get so lost in the grind of this. You totally lose sight of the fact that this is like a really fun toy and it's super fun for kids.
This is where freight starts to play a key role, whether it's a sample being imported on a plane or containers of the finished product moving by sea.
I had no concept of what it took to get something to somebody's door. It just doesn't really connect until you start to look at the holistic view of everything. When I first started getting packages straight from China, it was almost mind-blowing. The fact that I'm like, okay, now I had to to air this over because it's on a short timeline and it's a sample. And I'm starting to understand like how all that works, and developed a very deep appreciation for the whole process. It's crazy to see how intricate all of the things are.
Here's where things got messy.
We launched on Kickstarter in early 2021, right in the midst of crazy manufacturing and supply chain issues.
Let's take a step back. During the course of 2020 and 2021, global supply chains were hit by a massive increase in demand for stuff, followed by major challenges in actually moving it. This came long before the memeable Suez Canal blockage continued to the end of 2021 and has no sign of slowing down. Before we continue with Connor's story, here's a quick overview of what actually happened. It started with attempts to contain the virus. Here's Lorianne Larocco from CNBC and author of the book Containers Don't Lie.
When the pandemic broke out, the carriers started doing blank sailings, meaning they were canceling sailings because they did not want their crew members to get sick. So what happened was, because you had these canceled sailings and then you had China shut down where there was no production, whatever was on those vessels that were going around the world to be dropped off, that stuff was dropped off, but there was nothing else coming out of China. So you had this backlog. And human behavior was, I need my toilet paper and I need it now. And then, of course, you saw the pandemic buying, which further constrained the supply chain. And we have never dug ourselves out of this.
We'll talk more about the container ship obstacles in a future episode. But the short of it is that while it was harder to move goods, people were buying more than ever. Here's Udo Lang, the CEO of FedEx Logistics.
Consumer patterns changed. Money typically spent on services before was now redirected to products. And you had this massive e-commerce boom in the United States alone. This change in consumer behavior has led to a huge increase in demand for shipping by all modes of transportation, causing congestions, delays, price spikes, and container shortages because some terminals have closed when outbreaks of COVID occurred. So you have the supply situation, but then you have the e-commerce demand by the people.
And this is where we meet Connor and his Kickstarter campaign again in September 2021. At this point, the cost of shipping a 40-foot container from China to the U.S. West Coast has soared. It's climbed from $1,600 in September 19 to $3,800 in September 20, and then up to an incredible $20,856 in September 2021. It was this cost increase that forced Connor to send out a video update to his Kickstarter backers. The video is understandably titled, "The Hardest Thing I've Ever Done in My Life."
Hey everybody, this is Connor from Fort. Basically, Fort took a hit early on when our costs went up and we managed that very well. But recently, the cost of goods shipping internationally have spiked so hard that using the remaining funds we have left from the Kickstarter, we would be able to ship less than a fourth of all Kickstarter units, which obviously is not great.
Here's Connor on exactly what happened.
Just a few months after we got paid from the Kickstarter, we're rebuilding those samples, sourcing better suppliers, and seeing if we could figure out more efficient ways to make the product. And pretty quickly, we realized our costs were going to be about 30% higher than we thought. It's not the end of the world. It's something that you can overcome. We were pretty confident that we could raise a little bit more money or sell more product. It was pretty popular. And so a 30% raise in COGS wasn't going to totally kill us. That was kind of a surmountable challenge. It really got tricky when we have over thousands of these in production and we're starting to book freight. And we're realizing that the budget we had put in for freight is almost 4 or 5x what we had thought it would be. Not only that, but we're also already in production and we're trying to like almost retroactively figure out how we can re-engineer this product to go in a container across the ocean because I have the worst thing to ship on a boat. It's basically air, foam. It's literally the worst. And most of the big companies in the US who do foam, something like a mattress companies, a lot of those are doing domestic production or they've got really, really advanced compression machines. And we're kind of scrambling to figure that out because we're realizing, oh, we can only fit a few hundred of these in a container and a container costs $20,000, $25,000.
Just to slow down here for a second, smaller goods will almost always be shipped by air since the cost per unit is small. But large, bulky goods are shipped by ocean because they take up a ton of space. Even when they are shipped by sea, they can rack up huge costs. Shipping cell phones by a container would cost pennies per device. Shipping a couch can cost up to $1,000 per couch.
It went from around like $18 to $25 a unit. But, you know, it's a big product, so it's going to cost a lot per unit. And that was at a high price already. That was like January 2021, right? We're talking containers from East Coast China to West Coast US are already $8,000. And we're like, oh, well, maybe they'll top out at like 12 grand. We were like, okay, we're kind of seeing that. And we got ourselves all the way up to around 70 bucks. We saw that like 3 to 4 times happen really quickly, basically over the course of 6 months. And it hasn't really corrected itself. We're fully prepared for containers to go to like $40,000. We're staring at a huge freight bill, something that is basically going to keep us from paying off our suppliers, things like that. So we started to realize that later this summer, looking at the freight costs and just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not sure if we can overcome this. It's one thing to quote that Walmart's having sourcing issues and supply chain issues, or like Nestle or a $1 billion company publicly traded has been affected by supply chain. It's in Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal. That doesn't really connect home. It becomes really personal for these customers. You're potentially disappointing them for big family events, if it's something their kids have been excited about for months. And I have to be in this really tough position where my hands are almost completely tied. My options basically are, I can either charge my customers more money, I can ship what I can afford and the company closes, or I basically give back as much money to the customers as possible and tell my suppliers I'm going out of business. And every option is bad.
You know that saying that there's no such thing as free shipping? Well, it's true for freight as well. Every single time you, the consumer, pay for a product, logistics costs are rolled up into the final price. 8.5% of the US GDP is spent on logistics, and whether you like it or not, you pay the price for freight. This is true across the board. We found that nearly half of all businesses were contemplating raising costs due to these high freight rates. This also makes doing business that much harder for companies that are already trying to maneuver the pandemic. Connor felt that hard.
I would say we're still really in a tough situation. We're still on the hook for a lot of money. We have worked with our suppliers and our freight companies to try to work out some options so we aren't just hemorrhaging cash and also we aren't getting huge fines at ports and stuff like that. But for us, a business this small, bringing in something like 40 containers, which is a lot of containers. We almost got lucky in the fact that the ports are so slow in the US because we're living and dying by those freight payments that are due and those supplier payments that are due. And if we don't pull in enough cash flow in the meantime, when those freight payments and those supplier payments are due, it's going to be really ugly. So we've kind of hit this lucky streak where it's like a really complicated shuffling of everything. I mean, the whole supply chain process has been just maddening.
Navigating the increased cost of shipping is important, but high prices are not the only thing that are impacting consumers.
In our industry, timing really is everything. Once the snow starts to fall, we see a huge spike in demand for our gear.
That's Kurt Nichols. His company, Glade Optics, sells skiing and snowboard gear, things like goggles and helmets.
If we miss this small window, we really don't get another chance to sell that equipment for another 12, you know, maybe even 18 months. So shipping and logistics are really, really important to us. And as a result, this year, because of the current climate, we actually paid 4 times the normal price for a container. In a normal year, we might pay 3-4 grand for a container. This year, I think we paid closer to 20 grand for that container. There's a lot of uncertainty and we have taken steps to try to mitigate that uncertainty. But at the end of the day, the current freight situation is something that is 100% top of mind for us at this time.
Let's zoom out for a second. On the macroeconomic level, retail is absolutely on fire. Here's John Gold, the VP Supply Chain and Customs Policy at the NRF, the National Retail Federation, which is the world's largest retail trade association.
We've upped our forecast for retail sales this year over 2020. We're looking at a 10.5% to 13.5% increase over last year, which was significant.
Retail wasn't the only thing taking off. Some sectors, like medical, also saw major increases in demand. Here is Vikas Luthra, the founder of an IT company servicing the medical sector.
Our clients, doctors and dentists, were used to calling up a distributor in the US who would, within 5 hours, deliver what they needed. And now suddenly we're looking at lead times of 2 weeks to 3 weeks if they could get their hands on some infection control product. They wanted masks that were compliant. But what was happening at that time, at least in the US, was there was a certain surge for demand for these things. And all the retail stores started either not selling or diverting their inventory to hospitals. But that didn't really address the needs of these standalone medical providers because they didn't have a large buying conglomerate running the operations for them.
And that is how Vikas found himself sourcing medical gear overseas.
So we were asked if we were able to assist with importing or getting them the necessary infection control equipment, specifically gloves, face masks, and most prominently face shields, which is the first large shipment that we brought in into the US was a bunch of face shields. And that's how we got into the infection control business.
I heard this again and again. Despite the challenges, the level and intensity of demand for new products sparked a new wave of entrepreneurs.
From a consumer perspective, COVID had a huge growth impact on e-commerce.
This is Nathan Resnick, founder of Sourcify, a startup that helps companies manufacture overseas.
So many more people are shopping online now. Almost every e-commerce business grew. And I think e-commerce as a whole has progressed probably 5 or 10 years in a matter of a year and a half. If we look at the number of businesses that have been, you know, filed to be created in America, it's, you know, at the highest point it's been in the past, I think, 10, almost 20 years. COVID has sparked a lot of entrepreneurship and creators to go out and manufacture and produce their own products. And I think it's positively impacted e-commerce as a whole.
So yes, demand for imports is nearly unprecedentedly high, but the number of issues piling up are intimidating, to say the least. Here's Gold from the National Retail Federation again.
But there are additional pressures on retail, especially with the ongoing challenges of the increased transportation costs. Labor costs have increased and labor availability has been a challenge. Inflation issues, fuel increase. So there are a lot of challenges on many retailers, but many are adapting and continuing to be successful and thriving. But these challenges remain. I think many retailers are, again, trying to deal with the here and now, but also looking long term. How do they address these issues going forwards?
Global freight is an enormous industry, but despite all of the resilience built into it, our world is one that is so dependent on everything just working. And when even one part stops, it has a cascading effect. Here's Udo from FedEx again.
I have a favorite barbecue sauce, and the provider said, sorry, this year we can't ship. This barbecue sauce has 40 ingredients, and one of the ingredients we can't get right now, and we will miss the whole barbecue season because we can't get it in time. People sometimes think, oh, it's either the ocean or it's the air supply. But it's this combination of what are the materials that are in the product and what are maybe supplier challenges. Supply chains are highly complex. And that's why you need experts like FedEx to help you navigate through it.
In the next episode of Ship Happens.
Airplanes aren't just how we fly around. It's how the world's most valuable goods travel, too. And when people stopped flying in February 2020, goods nearly did as well. In our next episode, we'll hear how the air cargo industry continued to deliver iPhones, masks, and vaccines, despite global lockdowns that kept everyone else grounded.
Ship Happens is produced by Freightos, the global freight booking platform, making international shipping faster, more cost-effective, and reliable. For more, visit us at Freightos.com.